Hello?
Two best friends who were really great. One just up and moved away. Determined to maintain their relations, engage in stimulating conversations.
Phoney and Collie!
Phoney and Collie!
Phoney and Collie Show!
Hello?
Hello?
Hi!
All right.
How are you this day?
I was just thinking about the Monkees song, Cheer Up Sleepy Gene. What a weird, which I think that was written by Neil Diamond, I think, actually wrote that song.
Is it? It's Cheer Up Sleepy Gene?
Isn't it? Isn't it Cheer Up Sleepy Gene?
And then the Everly Brothers have a song, Wake Up Little Susie?
Yeah, it's Cheer Up Sleepy Gene. Sleepy Gene and fucking Little Susie are spending most of their time apparently fucking napping. It's a problem with this country.
Was the Monkees a parody of the Everly? I mean, was that a parody of that song?
No, no, it was just another song. The Monkees were Hollywood's answer to the Beatles. That was
I know, but like...
And our guest upcoming worked with Mickey Dolenz on our guest Julie Klausner today worked with Mickey Dolenz of Monkey fame on Difficult People, of which I also was on.
Very good. Very good. Well, maybe
playing podcaster, playing a podcaster.
Well, maybe she can shed some light on this Sleepy Gene little
Cheer
Susie.
Cheer up, sleepy cream.
I don't think you can sing that. Can you sing licensed music?
I think you can sing up to like 7 seconds of it.
And if you say sleepy cream, I guess it's okay.
It's a parody then.
Well, let's do a little business. A big shout out to our Johnny's Game home game winners from several weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
At Russ Dugan and at His Check. They got the answer to what was the what was the Gillian Flynn book about a Trump couple having trouble in the Venetian canals. The answer was, of course, Gondola Girl.
There we go.
So hopefully they are still
listening. Congratulations. Congratulations to Russ Dugan and who's the other one?
His Check.
His Check?
That's what the name is. I don't even know
Russ
if they want
Dugan.
Us giving their names out. This is about a month ago, if people recall. But
they are. It's Russ Dugan and His Check.
Yeah, yeah.
Loyal listeners. Loyal. Russ Dugan being a loyal viewer and supporter of all the permutations of
very
our
very loyal.
Pandemic.
Much more loyal than His Check. His loyalty will be noted and rewarded.
Yes.
Can I say my dad finally listened to the episodes, and his original email was like, listen to the three episodes, like, good. But it was like sort of a weird, tepid, like, email response.
Unsupportive.
Yeah. And then, but very out of, it's funny because my dad is extremely supportive,
well, that's
as you know.
That's what I was going to say. Yes.
And then
he's your biggest fan.
Yeah. And then sometimes is like, eh, that was okay. And it's like, well,
he's the Kathy. He's your dad is Kathy Bates. He's your biggest fan. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, totally. Oh, my dad would tie me to a bed
and hobble you in a second.
My dad would hobble and hover so quickly. But so I thought he like was sort of half-hearted about it. And then he sent another email a couple days ago, which I'll read to you, because he listened to the Gabrus episode, which you'll remember we talked about how we had that tiny little refrigerator.
Yes.
In our thing. This is his rationale. He goes, loved the Gabrus three-way podcast. And this is all written in extremely large italicized font. The font is different colors. Some of it's underlined, and it has... You know how you can color the background behind the font?
Yeah, of course.
So some of this is purple.
You
with
know
green
I'm big on font play when we do communal documents.
I know. So some of this is purple font with a green background. Some of it is green font with a peach background. And my dad has had lots of, for years, he was like, people aren't receiving my email designs how I intended. I'm like, all email servers are different. It doesn't lay out that way. Stop trying to do art designs in your emails. Just send an email. But, okay. Love the Gabrus Three-Way podcast. The reasons we had half-sized fridge and freezer were to have food prep services, pot and pan and blender storage, a less confined space in the kitchen, and because I didn't mind daily food shopping. He didn't mind daily food shopping. Since we didn't have pantry space, a lot less confined visual space. That's a very large font for visual space. If you were sitting down, you didn't have the fridge looming over you. To which I responded, uh-huh. So this is the house I grew up in. Teeny tiny. And then rationalizations for why that's fine.
See, now my dad has been listening to the podcast as well. And my father, every Monday, goes, oh, man, Anthony, I listened to another podcast. I was laughing out loud walking through Nashville. Just having a laugh, man. That was fun. And then he'll make suggestions. No, but then he'll make suggestions. He always goes a bridge too far. He goes, you know, what you and John should do. And I'm already like erasing the tape as he's telling me. Because here's the thing. Sometimes my dad makes a funny suggestion, but I try to say to my dad sometimes, I go, listen, if I get behind a drum set, it's going to be a mess. I can't keep beat. I can't do anything. I'm not a musician in any way, shape, or form. I can already hear him being like, you have a heartbeat. You can keep rhythm. I'm like, yeah, I know, but I can't. I don't. I'm bad. I'm not, you know, maybe I can sing a little. That's about it.
If anything, your heartbeat's a little irregular.
Actually, no. So it's not true. And my heartbeat's very regular, just like my now new bowel movements with my new weight loss.
But you're always watching your heartbeat go up and down on your
I'm monitoring watch. My heart rate. That's different than it being irregular. Right, and right. Also, I'm trying to monitor for what is the return rate on my high heart rate. So if I exercise, how long does it take for my heart to go back down to its resting heart rate, which is a very important sign of heart health. But besides that, but the other thing is, my dad, who did take a few improv classes in Nashville, but my dad, very funny guy, you know, wouldn't say he's a professional comic. So I will always listen to the suggestions. I always listen to them, but often I'm like, Dad, I'm like, just leave the comedy to us.
Yeah, well, I mean, but isn't it like, essentially it's like, but he likes it. That's good.
He likes it. Now, my mother, when I played her just maybe less than 30 seconds of it at the house before it came out, I played her like part of an episode. She went, oh, I don't. What is this? Like instantaneously. So that ended that. And then my stepfather will probably, if he is listening to it, he's listening to it like in secret. Like he's like, downloaded it and like listens to it in secret, like in the morning before my mom wakes up.
Right. I'm not sure if my mother has listened to it. Like
she likes our Twitter account tweets.
My mom?
I've seen your mom like a few.
She's on Twitter?
Yeah.
See, this is, she is?
Wait, let's tell them about the Jackie Lawson cards.
Oh, my mom loves.
This was one of the great, because I'm a firm believer that John's mom is like my dad, like in terms of.
You're also
a firm
believer that I'm like Flossie.
Yes, you guys share a lot of overlap. I mean, obviously, it's not all universally working out, but the day that I found out that your mom sent you Jackie Lawson cards and my dad sends me Jackie Lawson-y cards. And then your mom was like, I'll put you on the Jackie Lawson list. And so now I get cards.
Well, she has
to
justify
mom.
However much it costs to send fucking Jackie Lawson
it's
cards.
It's like $30 or something a year. It's ridiculous.
What a scam to be like, you can send a little card that takes way too long that nobody wants to watch. These little...
I like them.
It really pisses me off how gentle they are. Like
I like they're relaxing.
Aggressively,
they're gentle.
Like, this little flat... Like, they're the last operation using flash animation. They've got like cornucopias and blooming flowers and little kittens batting balls around, jumping up on the surface and spilling the sugar.
Yes. You know the one. The thing is you know it. You know that exact video.
There's a million of them.
No, there's only one where the kitty spills the shuggy.
There's one where lots of cats are poking their heads out.
Yeah.
There's Halloween-y ones and autumn ones.
Yeah, there's one for every occasion. And the beauty of it is, listen, I'm a total Jackie Lawson convert. And by the way, we're not sponsored by, I don't even know if Jackie Lawson's alive. I don't even know the status. The website looked like it was designed in 1999 and has not been updated since.
The website looks like a government portal for like trying to get Medicare or something.
It probably doubles as that, considering the age group that's going to Jackie Lawson. But I feel like there's certain things I have been, we talk about this sometimes, and you have a cynicism and I have a cynicism. I will say that recently in life, I have found that some of the things I'm cynical about, I have like turned into the skid. I've been like, you know what? Does it really bother me that much? I actually kind of enjoy these cards. I signed up for Jackie Lawson. I now send Jackie Lawson cards to people.
For money?
Yeah.
The money is the fucking part that gets me. Here's it's like getting a jib jab or something. Yeah, it's but like, what is this?
Well, what I like about it is, for me, is I go, ooh, I forgot that person's birthday. I can't mail him a card, but I can send him a Jackie Lawson.
That's cynicism. That is cynicism. Going, I don't have to care about if somebody falls off my radar, I can just smooth it over by wasting their time with a fucking fireworks exploding around the world in all the different languages.
You know what? When your mommy sends me one, I love it. I love it. When my daddy sends me one, I love it. And I love calling my parents mummy and daddy. I love calling my mom mummy. I love calling my dad daddy. I don't care. I don't, and I know you love
calling. I call my mommy mommy.
No, I'm
not saying you don't. I call
my wife
mommy.
Well, okay, well.
I call you mommy.
Yes, that's true. I'm saying like, I feel like there's certain things as I've gotten older, ideas of like masculinity or like what you're supposed to present or do are so stupid. They're so stupid. Like you think of all the shit we were indoctrinated with when we were younger. They're so dumb. And they like shape so many things about like, well, you can't go do that. I mean, you can't fucking do that. That's, you know, a woman does that, or you can't like, it's so stupid. I don't even know why I know why we did it, but like, it is like tiresome. And like, I think as a guy, as a man, I do think you grow up, at least I grew up being like, oh, this is how you're supposed to like, you don't get beat up. Basically, I feel like you grow up and then at a certain point you're like, oh, I'm going to get pummeled if I don't, I guess, do these things too.
So Jackie Lawson is the antidote for your toxic masculinity?
Yes, yes.
I mean, I sort of had the opposite because my dad, as we've established, went shopping every day. He was the like house husband. My mom worked and he's like very not masculine. I mean, like he like basically forced me to like dislike sports and, you know, not that I naturally like sports, but he was like, wouldn't let me play sports and yeah. Didn't want me to. And,
oh,
you
I
know,
love that.
Just sort of
Fox
everybody
sports.
Everybody just fattened me up and, you know, got me into the arts and stuff. So
just a fat little artist.
I don't feel like I was indoctrinated into, you know, that's one of the things that makes me feel sort of like an outsider, actually, is that sort of, I don't associate with the sort of masculine.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that I also felt like that outsider, maybe because I'm a little older than you, even by 7 years, I feel like,
yeah,
okay, some of the attitudes were already even more arcane when I was growing up in the 80s and into my high school years at the edge of the 90s. But like, I also, like, I think it, I mean, listen, I get it. Everybody's thing is like, you know, for them, the worst thing or whatever, the way they lived it. But like, I hated like that I even had to try to do competitive sports when I didn't want to fucking do that. I've always found it unnatural to like be like, listen, I love being a private pig and I love saying terrible things. I'm not saying that. But I don't think that's exclusive. I don't think that's a masculine thing. I think that's just a person thing.
No.
I think people like to be little piggies when they're alone.
Yeah.
And with there's people they trust.
Femme pigs.
Yeah, exactly. There's plenty of femme pigs and bi pigs and there's everything. But the thing to me is like I guess it's like you still encounter it. It still exists today. Like if you go, especially like if you audition for an ad or you're in anywhere in the commercial world, you deal with that bro culture. You deal with it in like most aspects of production or pitching shows or things.
Sure.
It's always like a guy's like, yeah, man. Like, and when people talk to you, and they're like, yeah, but, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, that was pretty tight. I mean, she's pretty tight on that show, but like, and you're like, what is happening? Why are you talking like this?
Yeah.
Don't talk like this to me, you fucking weirdo. That's like my least favorite thing now as an adult is when another man your age or younger or whatever in a private moment dispenses some disgusting sick shit to you that you're like, I don't even know you. If I knew you, then maybe I could contextualize it and like what you're saying is ironic or we're just saying it because we're friends or whatever. And even then there's a lot of things that's like, well, I don't want to say that or hear that. Like, I don't get it.
I was at dinner with my old manager years and years ago and it was like, oh, the waitress, like, wow. Like, the waitress would, like, drop off water, and it was like, oh, the waitress, whoa, the waitress, boy, she's a real waitress. It's like, I was like, stop. But it was still like, wow, can you believe that waitress? Ooh, gonna fuck the waitress. Like, you're not gonna fuck the waitress. Shut up. Like, I'm trying to have a conversation with you.
So I know that I haven't really, Duncan, I know that I haven't really worked on too many of the projects I've been telling you about. And I'm really hoping to get you more stuff, but I'm glad that you gave me some time to, like, you know, just sit face to face with you and let's, you know, recalibrate the career, right?
Oh, that's fine. Say? That's fine. Yeah, yeah. Let's, yeah. I'm happy to, for you to take me to lunch, right?
What? Yep. Yes, I'm your manager.
Oh, sorry. What? Sorry. I've been sending you projects and you just said you meant to.
I meant it like I've been procrastinating on projects to submit to you. Wait a minute.
No, I submit projects. Wait,
hold on.
You are my manager. Wait a minute.
Wait, you're my manager.
No, I'm not. I submit projects to you and to get your feedback on how we should proceed. And
hold
you
on.
Haven't
Who
been.
Who have I been paying 10% to then? Because
I haven't gotten any money. You haven't even gotten me any work. I don't have a 10% to pay.
Well, I don't have 10% from you because you don't do shit.
I've been sending you projects. You're supposed to set me up with pitch meetings and give me notes and stuff.
I have been procrastinating on sending you projects because you're supposed to set me up with pitch meetings.
I'm not your manager.
I'm not your manager.
You are.
Who's paying for this lunch?
Who's
paying for this lunch? Because I thought this was a free lunch.
You suggested this place. This is the most expensive place on Fifth Avenue.
That's what you do with your manager. You suggest the most expensive place to your manager.
The manager says, let me take you to lunch at this. The manager says the place. They're the.
Oh, fuck.
Hey, guys.
Fuck.
Have we had a chance to look at the menu?
No, I'm sorry. Just, you have to
you
give us a
time?
Second. Yeah,
need
just
a, little
a
more
second.
Time?
Yeah,
okay, take your
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
This is crazy, Mark.
Duncan.
Mark?
I know this is crazy. I have spent the last 2.5 years wondering why I don't get work. wondering why I can't book a job or get on a show or even get to JFL, which is Just for Laughs in Montreal, which everybody knows is the place you go if you want to be a success.
I was so confused. I had no idea why you were sending me these character reels. I thought it was like, as a joke. I mean, I never had a manager before. I was like, maybe they do this as like a gag, a manager gag. That's why I was just like, ha ha.
I've never had a manager before.
Oh.
Don't you remember how we met?
Oh.
It was that set at the old UCB East. Remember that wonderful theater downtown in the East Side in New York? That incredible theater.
Yeah, the
UCB
one next
opened?
To that pizza place where they give you cornmeal crust pizza that you chew for 20 fucking minutes.
Oh, yes. It was great pizza. So delicious tasting all that cornmeal. Everyone knows the Italians really were heavy on the cornmeal when they made that pizza. Oh, just remember. Hey. Hey, great show.
Hey, thanks.
Theater. You can find more information on
UCB theater.com. I have a show later.
Please clear the theater.
Oh, you checking out another show?
Soon.
Oh,
if
yeah.
Like to
yeah?
Check out our
what?
Next show.
I didn't hear
Doug
you. What?
Lowe's, a bad
anyway,
are you,
yeah,
you checking out another?
Yeah.
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 Please get a drink.
So
at the
I'm going to manage to go get some pizza. Yeah, you want to come for pizza? Yeah, I'm going to manage to go get some pizza in a second.
You know, it's funny because I want to do it. I'm going to manage my contact list real quick.
Oh, yeah?
On my phone.
Really?
Can I add you?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, Duncan. What's your last name?
My last name is Moped.
All right. Room, room.
Yeah.
Nice name. Good
stage
name. Nice brand. Nice brand. I like that brand. I like your brand. Okay, cool. So I manage my contacts.
Wow. Okay. Let's talk about it over some pizza.
Okay.
Hi, honey. Did you get my? Hi, Duncan. Did you get my Jackie Lawson?
Yeah, I got it, Mom.
What's the big news? What do you want to tell me?
I thought you had big news. You just sent me a Jackie Lawson. You had the Jackie Lawson with a big present, and then a turkey comes out and its tail feathers fan out. It says big news.
Oh, God. I mean, when you left your message saying you had big news, I thought I would preemptively send you a Jackie Lawson that you're just gobbling up Hollywood by storm. So, or New York or wherever the hell you live. I sent you a card pre-congratulating you. I mean, you know, nothing, it's the same. Your father fell down the stairs the other day and no, it's fine. We didn't want to bother you and call you. He had a cerebral hemorrhage, but he's fine now.
What?
It's fine, it's fine, it's fine.
Well, okay. I'd like to talk to him.
Boop, boop. Oh, hold on, I have call waiting.
What? You do?
Hold
still?
On. Hold on. Hello? Hey, listen, I know it's only the third time that, you know, you're my birth mother and we're reaching out, but I just wanted to tell you I got a manager. Don't ever call me on this line again. I am on the phone with my son, and he cannot know that I have another child. Do you understand me? Okay, I just wanted to tell you I got a manager the other night at a show. He said it weird about going to get pizza, but he seems really interested in my career. So anyway, I love you, and I hope we can meet soon. Goodbye, I need to go. Hello?
Hey, who is that?
Nobody. Nobody of any interest. It was just a robocall.
Okay, well, so the big news is I think I got a manager.
No! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Let me put your father on the phone!
Dad? Dad, I got a manager. Mom said you took a spill. You feeling okay? Yeah, so I think they take like 10%, but hopefully you can like get me some auditions and get some of my ideas taken.
Good enough. How good enough?
Oh, not good enough for you.
Oh, what are you doing? Don't sing on the phone. Your father's all agitated now. Oh,
sorry, sorry.
Wait a minute. We're brothers. We're brothers.
I guess.
Because I remember that phone call.
Yeah.
So we're brothers.
Wait, how would we have pieced that together? You called your birth mom.
Because my
birth... How do we know that we called the same person?
Because my birth dad, my birth father, is your father, and he had a cerebral hematoma when he fell down the stairs. Exactly.
But it sounded like my mom didn't even tell you any of that.
We spoke later, and the reason why is I went to visit him, and he was singing "Good Enough" by Cyndi Lauper, and we realized that that was the key to his therapy. Was he worked back his speech by doing Cyndi Lauper songs? I think you would know that.
You're the guy who helped him get back his speech?
Yes.
Oh my God. Listen, we ate appetizers here. I don't have the money to pay for this.
I don't have the money to pay for this.
What are we gonna do?
Okay. Just follow my lead.
Did everybody move? This is a fucking robbery!
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Get down on the fucking ground, every last one of you!
Wow.
And that's how they went on to make Pulp Fiction. Quentin Tarantino stole it from them.
Can I just say that the fact that we both thought we were the client
you
says everything.
Phrased it.
I was doing what I do, which is my constant apologizing to my manager about how I haven't worked on any projects.
I thought you were the manager apologizing to the client.
No, I spend my time apologizing to my manager.
I'm glad that that's what it was, because when you first looked confused, I was like, oh, like, I don't, am I just way off on what's going on? Like, no, are we not a manager client at all?
Well, one thing I am glad, and for everyone listening, it's a great example of how we didn't have to do any of the sexually harassing of the waitress.
No, not at all. We only had to, mockingly portray a
person with a fucking head
staircase
injury.
Victim.
I think that's within the range. It was a fair fall down the stairs.
Totally within the small decimeter only goes up to 3.6 Rankin.
It's like a little bit. Cheer up, Sweepy Cream. But wait, the Monkees were Hollywood's answer to the Beatles. Is just what I wanted to say.
You did say that.
Oh, I did?
Okay. Yes. And I didn't really understand what you meant the first time.
They basically, the Beatles were so popular, they're like, we're going to create a Beatles.
And right. They
make
made
a television
TV show about it.
Yeah. They didn't play their instruments
but
initially.
The confusing thing to me is, why are you phrasing it as if you're hosting some look back on the Monkees? Like, it's such a snappy, the Monkees were Hollywood's answer to the Beatles.
I don't know.
You've said it twice now.
I saw some video of the Monkees on Twitter before I got on here, and it made me start thinking about the Monkees. I used to love watching the Monkees when I was a kid. I used to love it. I thought it was so funny.
It was one of those shows where I was young enough where I was confused about if they were real or not. Like, I was like, are they a band that then they made a TV show with the band, or did they make the whole thing up for the TV show? I still don't really know.
They made it up for the TV show, but then they
tour as a band.
Yeah, but they became musicians. Like, I think initially they were like just playing along, and then they were like, we better learn instruments and like become a band. So then they became a band. But my favorite thing is that there's this like Josie and the Pussycats, Scooby-Doo, the Monkees live action. I loved about those shows was I loved that they all had a musical interlude where things got real kooky before like the final, before the third act. Like the bridge to the third act was always like a song and then like a montage of like crazy things they did.
Yeah.
I just fucking loved that so much as a kid. I just thought that was such a great.
Yeah, it's like running around. It's like Yellow Submarine-y, Benny Hill-y. Yeah. There's a lot of running around to music. It's sped up.
Oh, it's great. I loved, are you kidding? I love Benny Hill.
Of course you did.
Oh, I mean, as like a 6, 7, 8 year old, you could also say you could see like a topless woman on PBS.
I always went, what did this guy, Benny Hill, was that his name, Benny Hill? What did he do before they gave him a TV show? Like what of any of that could he have done on stage or any, like he never barely even spoke. How did they know we give this guy a TV show, he can chase topless women around and it'll be successful? Like, what did he do before that?
And that little old man he used to pat on the head. I mean, if I tried to watch Benny Hill now, I would be like, what the fuck is going on? But like, as an 8 year old, it was amazing. I think he actually was an actor. He was like in some films and stuff, in some pretty, I think, significant films, like significant British films. Who knows? I don't know what Benny Hill's deal was. Maybe we can ask our guest.
Yeah, this is a perfect transition.
Let's please round out our
three-way segment with Julie Klausner.
Hi, Julie.
Hi.
Hi. Look at you. I have to say, you look fucking fantastic.
Oh, that's so nice of you to say. Thank you so much. Wait, quick. First, very quick tech question.
Yes.
First. Sorry, just want to get this out of the way. I'm recording onto my Zoom recorder, so I will send you a track after that will sound great.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If that's okay, because the alternative is that I set it up so that like your recording of this meeting sounds great, but I can't record that.
No. Send us your separate track. Okay. That's what we
send us your single track that Got sounds it. Great.
Okay.
There's that is nothing happening. Wrong with that.
That's happening right now. And now we can go back to Anthony sexually harassing me.
Yeah, my God, Julie, are you getting younger? I'm not joking when I'm like, I've never seen someone look better every year.
Oh my God. I love you so much. You are the best. I am so madly in love with I'm also
that's all
to...
it takes. That's all it takes for you to be madly in love. A basic compliment.
Compliments. And Johnny, when did you start wearing these amazing Robert Evans glasses? I saw.
They only look Robert. When I turned 40, I needed. They said I had astigmatism. They look Robert Evansy because they have a special film that reflects back the blue screen light.
It's a little Jonestown.
They're not.
If his hair's forward, he's full Jim Jones.
You look really intense, Johnny. You do look like either a cult leader or a movie producer, just someone that is going to convince you to burn your panties and stop talking to your father.
I look less intense when I'm not in a computer screen because then.
Okay,
not
I believe
blue.
You, but I do like it. It is. It is like. Yes. There we go. Stern. I'm a stern man. I'm a
it's hard to pick
man.
Frames.
Oh, yeah. I've never successfully picked a frame.
That's the biggest scam in the world is the, like, pick a frame by mail, the Warby Parker, where you, like, have to upload a photo of your, in my case, big fat face, and then they, like, put it on top of you. It's so hard to, Anthony, that's not quite right. They're not quite right yet.
These are my readers.
So cheap.
These are my readers, so I don't, everyone calls me grandma whenever I wear them.
They are cute when you wear them down your nose.
You wear glasses, Julie?
Sometimes, yeah, I do.
But not all the time?
Not all the time, just when I want to, I guess, impress people.
Like in a meeting, would you wear them in like a pitch meeting?
I would totally wear them in a pitch meeting.
What would you do? We were talking about this the other day, which is the mythology around like pitch meetings and like what people do. Like, this person took their socks off when they went in the room and they stood on the table and they just said, "You people don't deserve my idea." Have you ever heard one of those? And two, why is this a story that's told when no meeting I've ever been into remotely comes close to that unhinged?
I mean, the closest I can give you is one time I went in to pitch something to Showtime and David Arquette was sitting there with a marionette, like holding it from the top.
In the waiting room?
Yes. And you know how the top of marionette is like two wooden sticks that cross, and he was holding it.
It's a cross that you use to control it.
Yeah, yeah. So he was because he clearly didn't want the strings to tangle. So he was just holding it up, and I don't think it was a marionette of himself. I think it was just a different character. And I remember leaving and thinking, like, well, I didn't sell that show because clearly this is what you need to bring into the room.
Well, that must have been the beginnings of that hugely popular David Arquette marionette series that Showtime produced.
Yes, exactly, exactly. It was
a Mayor Marionette Barry. It was the story of...
It was Mary Marionette Barry. And then they played Russian Rue Marionette. They did... Hold on, let me try and...
Russian Rue Marionette.
I know, I'm like, where is this going? I know it rhymes, but it's going to be a tough, like, couple of words to smush. My favorite game is reverse Russian roulette. Can I just say, if you're really, you know, if you've been playing for as long as I have, and yes, I'm a gamer, as you know.
Yes, of course.
At a certain point, it's like the crossword puzzles. You're just like, hello, I can do the Saturday puzzles in my sleep. How about we ratchet it up a notch, or in this case, a chamber? So
five in a chamber, one empty.
Oh, I thought reverse Russian roulette was you have an empty gun and then you hold it up to your head, pull it away, load it, and put the gun down on the table.
It could also mean that you just pointed at someone else.
Oh, yes. Well, Kyle, I mean, I think we know one guy is playing that game. Kyle Rittenhouse, who, of course, now in the time we're recording this, is running for Senate.
He is a blubbering bitch.
I know. I know. Every time you look at his face, every time I've been in the trial, you see him, and he clearly has like acid reflux or GERD or something. He's just constantly like,
he's anxious.
Anxious that his GERD is going to, like, I feel like in order to prepare for this trial, he gained some weight so he'd have more like in his face when he would cry. They're like, we want a couple more, but not like we want like cute fat. We want like a baby manatee kind of fat.
Yes, yes.
Because then we want you to stay inside. So you're like super, super pale so that when you blubber, I mean, people really do act like a baby beluga whale is, you know, suffering in the side of a tank. You just want to throw them back in the tank and say, free SeaWorld. And that was his strategy.
Yes. That's what I wish people would take note of that, like, love guns and paramilitary stuff. It's like, I don't hold it against Kyle Rittenhouse that he's very upset in this situation. I wish they would go, if I put on a bunch of flak jackets and carry around an assault rifle and go shoot somebody, I'm going to end up being upset. I'm going to be upset.
Self-care.
Yeah,
exactly.
This is a case about men needing to exercise self-care. This is a cautionary tale.
This is what we were just before you got on talking. I was talking about the whole thing of as a kid about how like all this shit that you have to like figure out how to survive in the man world so that you don't just get the shit beat out of you constantly and how much it sucks. And then how in the current day when you're like, as I am 47, and you encounter some guy you don't know, and they just privately say all this crazy shit to you, and you're like, what is happening? Why is this still happening? We're like, we're not even in junior high or in a situation where we're stuck together. Why are you doing this crazy, weird, misogynistic shit with me? I don't want to do it.
Could you give me an example? Because this is such a part of the world that I am so not invited to. So just like when you say he says something crazy to you, like what kind of thing is that? Or is it in like a men's room? What are the spaces and what are the specifics?
So spaces.
Tony, give the lady an example.
All right, listen up, broad, because I'm going to tell you something. I would say like my most primary one I'm going to give is also a lunch I did with a person who was a publicist. And it was a place I went to lunch at a lot near my studio. And we went, sat down, and a woman came over. It was a similar story to what you told me, John. She came over to the order, and she left, and he went, boy, I'd like a slice of her. Yeah. And I looked at him, and I went, no. I said, don't do that. I said, don't do that. I said, don't, whatever you, I said, I'm not, it's because I was in a position where I could do that, right? Because he wanted me to pay him to be my publicist. So that was an easy one. But other ones are like in commercial auditions, in an elevator. Sometimes I would teach a class, and then afterwards, like maybe a male student would wait for me to ask me a question. And then he'd be like, yeah, in that scene, he goes, you know, she was in the scene. So like, you can't like really say this. And I go, why? I go, what are you talking about? And I would always, generally I would respond by mostly going, I don't understand. Like I'd feign
You'd pretend
ignorance
to not understand
to see if they would get that what they're doing is nutty, you know? But generally, I encounter it with even people, you know, my thing is between friends, you say all kinds of crazy shit, maybe to evoke all kinds of different responses. So there's trust there. Like, I trust if I say something to you, you say something to me, we know where we stand. We're having a private conversation. So obviously, the gates are way more open. But that, I don't get it when it's someone you don't know or don't know well. But it is a very particular thing between men.
You okay, Julie? Is your home on fire or anything?
Why? Did something happen?
No, because no,
just the sirens.
Oh, I live in New York City. Have you
You're
heard
so
of it?
You're so used to it.
I literally live across the street from a fire station. And yes. I had to, when I moved in here, I had to pay someone an exorbitant amount to put in like noise canceling windows. And they still don't block out the noise, but no,
they don't need to turn on the sirens right when they leave the station. That's excessive.
Love turning.
Oh, they love doing that.
It's like a little boy is in charge of it or something.
There you go.
It's so loud. I live in the loudest apartment in the world. Anyway, sorry, Anthony.
But yeah, but that's what I would say is, and the thing is it's twofold. It's like checking in to see if you're a piece of shit, but I think it's also warning you, like, hey man, like
oh,
I'm
code,
fucking
it's all code
aggressive.
Signaling.
Yeah, it's all code signaling.
Code signaling.
Yeah,
it's aggressive,
and it scares me. And I feel like there's a thing where it's like I want to be able to say as a guy, I guess, those people scare me too. I don't like them. They scare me. They freak me out. I don't want to be around them. I don't want to be alone with them. But the problem is that's almost most men you encounter. It's almost most men you encounter or some version of that. And you're like, fuck, like you all suck. Like you all suck almost collectively. And then you got to be lumped in with it.
You've said to me before, we're not doing this. And I can tell you exactly the situation. And it's such a good thing to say because the other person knows exactly what you're talking about.
Yep.
And it's
what did
not...
he say it to you about? Because he says to me too, we're not
he
doing
said
this.
Said it to me once and it was so
Or he goes,
good.
This is the thing where you... That I don't like.
I did it to you?
Yeah, I'll tell you exactly what it was. And it was all I needed. And I said, okay, I'll move on. It's a good... Did a shrink teach you that? It's a good boundary, like demarcation in the sand. This
I think
is
I learned
when he
it from
said
Seinfeld.
It oh, well, then that was very helpful. You were dating a 17-year-old at the time?
Yes, you bet.
He said it to me, Johnny, when I was like getting, I was like giving him the business about not marrying Flossie. It was like, when are you guys going to get married? And Tony goes to me, we're not doing this. And I stopped.
And then we got married.
And then he and I got married briefly.
We got married.
And that turned me on so much. I was like, oh my God, he has boundaries. But it is such a good way of telling people like, I know what you're doing. I know what this is.
Yeah.
Let's not. Yeah. I didn't. It was so.
That is the biggest
so effective.
Yenta. That is the most Yenta thing. A woman who is not herself married, going. When are you going to get married? It's time.
but John, they were together for so long.
Oh, yeah. Totally. But they were comfortable with that.
You know what? It's
but was
interesting.
I comfortable?
No, you weren't. Yeah, you weren't comfortable. And it's your You know, it's funny. We just spoke about this the other day, because I turned to Flossie and I went, you know, I know we waited a long time and like we kind of got married because it was mostly about healthcare and stuff. But now that we are married, we're like 6 years in. I said, well, you know, now we've been married for a while. I'm like, it is good. It's like a special thing. I'm glad that like we have this thing that sort of is. And she goes, yeah, I could really care.
She's knitting. She's reading three books at the same time.
Yeah, I know.
She's listening to an audiobook, reading a book, knitting.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. While like writing 500 ad copy pieces for some branding
and playing
thing.
Ghost of Tsushima DLC.
Yeah, she's so much better than me. She's so much better than me in every way. No, she is though.
But what I just love that you two are introvert extrovert in like such a textbook. Is that fair to say, or am I being reductive around your extroversion and your gregariousness?
No, she is definitely an introvert, and I'm definitely an extrovert. But what's interesting in COVID time is actually I feel like Flossie has done more social things than I have, because I think I also have a hard time where like I adapt to the circumstance, which was shut everything down, don't go anywhere, don't go near anybody. So that becomes the new rule. And then the rule bakes in to the point where, like, I could go have lunch with someone or see somebody probably, or at least see him in a park or something. But now that new rule's there that's like, don't go anywhere, it's dangerous, it's dangerous. And like, now I've been having to like unwrite that rule.
But
you know?
You're a man of extremes, sir,
yes.
If I may.
Yes.
And Johnny, how have you and Andrea been during the pandemic?
We've been pretty good. I mean, we've been like, we were going to couples for a while before that, just, you know, because I think it's just stressful, like having kids, having, you know, everything just in life, you know.
Well, the homeschooling stuff must have been a nightmare. Like, how are you going to teach and do your own thing and babysit? And I mean, that to me, when parents were dealing with that before they could go back to school, was just like, I can't imagine.
That was okay. It was hard, but like we did couples leading up to the pandemic. And then when that hit, it was like, I was grateful that we had the tools, because it was less effective over Zoom. We felt like it was, we were just sort of like giving somebody a rundown, and it wasn't, we didn't have as much to work out, because we were just busy, and like, we were able to use the stuff that we learned to sort of manage it all. We're also lucky to like be actors and like work enough that we can live, but not so much that we ever have much else to do.
But good the life. Two of you don't have the extremes that like Anthony and Flossie do. You both are kind of extroverted goofballs that are, you know, weirdos in your
reassessing,
own rhythms.
I feel like I look like an extrovert, but really I'm an introvert. I mean, an energy standpoint, I do feel drained by, like, especially getting back into parties and stuff after the, you know, in the where we're at in the pandemic now, like, I really have like 45 minutes where I'm like, can talk to people. And then I'm like, I gotta go. I wanna be out of here.
That's what they talk about, the 45 minute or the 2 hour work week, or when people are talking about exercising, they're like, just do like, you know, what is it? Bursts of like high interval. And
oh,
I'm all for that philosophically. I'm like, listen, I couldn't agree more. Anything that's just like fast and hard, and then you're back at home. I'm all for.
How are you? Are you? And I mean, you like have a lot of social energy, but how do you feel you are introvertedly?
I get drained being around people too much. It's a very delicate balance. And then as far as the pandemic was concerned, it was for me like too much of a be careful what you wish for sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, Donald Duck catches his nephew smoking and he makes him like, you know, finish a box of cigars. So that was
isolated in my apartment.
Yeah, it was kind of like, you know, just like, I don't like leaving the apartment. Like, how do you feel about it now? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. But no, it's definitely been like an issue of around balance more than anything. And isolation. But generally, I'm absolutely an introvert. The more I'm exactly like you. I need a cap. There's a certain amount of being around people that energizes me, and then it drains me. And it also completely depends on the people, because I'm super, super picky.
Yeah, I was going to say, it depends on the people. Some people energize me. Some people fucking are a huge drain. And you're like, get me out of here as quick as possible. You know, it also depends on the part. Like, if I go to an event with a lot of people I know, oh, that's great. I can bounce around, find a corner, sit with people. If I don't think I've ever enjoyed a party where it's like, this is like an industry party or a party at the festival or anything. Yeah. I've never, ever gone. The only time was meeting Scott Thompson in JFL, because that was so worth it.
Because
he was the nicest. We talked for like 4 hours. And I was like, that was worth it to go to that, to meet him and hang with him. But beyond that, I don't think I've ever been like, oh, this is so great. You know,
no, I haven't been to a party since the pandemic.
Have you performed live?
No, I haven't. I haven't been to a party. I haven't performed live. Also, like, I know one person that likes industry parties, and it's a character flaw. I think we have to come to the terms you know, that anyone is looking over your head at someone else who's coming in. It's such a bad.
It's so bad.
It's so bad.
I don't drink enough to enjoy that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the secret.
Yeah. And getting high sort of negates the idea that you're like, I love this.
I want to get high, but it always makes me terrified in those situations. I end up just being more quiet.
What are you vaping, Tony?
Just regular nicotine.
And what is your relationship with vaping? Like, do you get pods? Are they Juul pods? Are they just tobacco? They're not
the
flavored,
Juul pods.
Right?
It's an unfortunate flaw that resumed. I had stopped for the whole pandemic, and I went to Toronto to film. Yeah, and
What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, and someone one night hanging out when we were like hanging out in one of the quarantine apartments had one, and you know how my brain just went that thing. I'll do it while I'm here, so I won't. Yeah. And my brain always goes, "Hey, you're not going to smoke cigarettes, so pretty good."
Right.
So the negotiations already happened, and then now a year later, I'm trying desperately.
It is better than cigarettes, though, right?
I mean, it is. I mean,
yeah,
in the
that,
sense that,
that
I
cough
can run.
Sounds better. That's a better sounding cough.
The cough, yeah.
It's a baritone, not a bass.
It's a drier, more up there cough. I mean, I can run and everything, you know.
And would you say that you is this the like? Are you do you acknowledge that this is a thing you were addicted that is the most addictive?
Or oh, this you, is this okay. is my white whale is nicotine. Yeah. All yeah. It's been my white whale for 20 years. I mean, I used to smoke.
You've been pursuing nicotine on the high seas.
Just call me Pishmail. But like, I one time remember driving in LA when I was like a production driver, and I was smoking like 2 packs of Luckies a day. And I literally took a hit from a cigarette and started coughing and coughed so hard that I blacked out behind the wheel and then like came to and was like running like on the side of the road and was like, Jesus, and still didn't quit smoking for like 3 more years after that. Wait, we had a question before we joined and before we get into Johnny's game real quick. What was the deal with Benny Hill? Why was Benny
horny.
Hill successful? Why was he successful?
Here's the thing about Benny Hill. Benny Hill was so horny.
Well, clearly. But what my question is, what did Benny Hill do that got him enough fame to have a TV show? Like, what was his act before he was just chasing women around in sped up footage?
Was he
on stage saying things?
You mean... Why couldn't he have been chasing women around the stage?
It just seems like I'm not. I can't picture.
John can't understand why.
I can't
Benny
picture
Hill
what
is.
Would have preceded the Benny Hill show.
I see what you
to
mean.
Get him there. Like,
right?
He didn't just walk out of nowhere and they go, "Oh, here's this like 58-year-old man." Like,
I mean, it almost seems like he came from this tradition of like vaudeville and clowning because he didn't speak, right? He would just look at the camera like, oh, no.
He spoke a little bit, but not
It was mostly physical.
Right.
So I almost picture his act on stage being, you know, because there's always like these burlesque dancer babes in those reviews, right? So I imagine that he was backstage being very resolute about like, we're doing a hybrid. This is going to be a hybrid. He's like, my whole thing is collaboration. And that was his way of, you know, getting the birds, the comeliest birds to, I'm telling you, John, it was probably just him chasing them in a circle on stage.
All right.
See,
and maybe, you know, there was like a horn he honked. He was like horny Harpo, right?
Yeah, he was horny Harpo. I think he had a film career before his TV show. I think that Benny Hill was like an actor in like British films.
Oh, in those, what's that series called? It's like this.
The Italian Job or something? Wasn't he in the Italian Job?
Yeah, Benny Hill was in The Italian Job.
Wait, wasn't Benny Hill the original Jason Bourne?
He was in The Italian Hand Job. Wait, British naughty film franchise. Okay. 60s.
Hopefully we'd be like Pink
Amp
Panther.
This typing up in the mix.
No, it was called, gosh, what was it called? It was like something like, oh, you're awful, or wait, oh no, there is something called Oh, You Are Awful. I don't know. It just it seems like it's that kind of neo-burlesque, that sort of, because there was, it's also adjacent to like the Hammer horror films and just babes being sexy. But yeah, right. Also, that was always weird to me though, that like there were strippers in between comedy acts in burlesque, because you'd get probably a boner, and then these two people are like, who's on first?
Yeah. Well, they'd bring it down to reload for the next act.
Reload your balls.
Yeah, your balls. Well,
you can laugh with a boner.
Yeah, well, also, my guess is that there was
spend my whole morning.
I think there was a point at which...
That's my favorite category on Pornhub, is the animated the Family Guy all fucking each other.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I've actually jerked off to like
Lois's tits.
Yeah, like Homer Simpson fucking Peter Griffin's wife or something.
Oh my God.
Her name is Lois John.
That's a real category?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my it's God. Like Hot Marge Simpson. Sexy.
I gotta
Lois.
Get out of my yoga phase. I'm in a lot of yoga instructor.
Yoga's the worst.
I'm in a lot of
yoga. Oh, you're looking
yoga.
At yoga categories?
They always rip the back of the pants open. Yeah. You're like, well, you wasted
really?
Those. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. To be honest, it's very realistic, depending on where you shop. I've had a couple of yoga.
Yeah, they're all sponsored by Lululemon. They're all sponsored by Lululemon.
Oh, I watch like, the Athletas.
The Lulu. What about the LuLaRoe ones? The ones with those.
Oh, LuLaRoe.
Yes, LuLaRoe.
I love LuLaRoe. So it's no Nexium, but it's pretty good.
Did you watch the one about the weight loss gal?
No,
Gwen Shamblin. Her last name is literally Shamblin. Like her life is in shambles.
Andrew was watching the Lula Rich documentary, and I watched it the whole time going, what's the scam? I don't understand. These people are acting like they got scammed somehow. I was like, how did you get scammed?
Because they
you
were
knew
selling...
the deal, you made a lot of money, and then what was the scam?
I think the scam was that they were sending them leggings that smelled like shit.
Yeah,
and that, like ripped in half, that they were just like...
But they were selling them.
No, but by the time they got the lousy ones, they couldn't sell them. And then LuLaRoe was like, we're not taking them back.
Yeah, basically.
I think that was where it got funky.
They got fucked in the supply chain. And the other thing is, any pyramid scheme, yes, the people who decide to participate in the pyramid scheme and bring other people in, you know, it's a hard thing to go, well, you chose to do this. Like, what are you doing? But at the same time, the idea of any business model built on that recruitment is impossible. So
well,
that's the scam.
I agree with Johnny in that it's very challenging. They had this guy who was an expert, and he's like, multi-level marketing is legal. Pyramid schemes are not.
Right, right.
And you're like, what the hell is the difference?
And the people complaining were going, we were making $60,000 a month, but we felt like we had to buy expensive dresses.
My favorite is when she started that text chain for women to go to Tijuana to get tummy tucks, and they were called like the skinny minis, and you're just going about your day. And then you get a text from this woman who, by the way, I don't mean to like body shame anybody, but like that tummy tuck did not last. Like, it was one of those things where you're like, go to Beverly Hills next time.
Well, you don't mean to body shame, but that tummy tuck sucked.
Yeah, that's a tummy suck. Well, you know, you in the interview, you could see staples popping off of her while she's talking.
And just imagine going about your business and getting a text from her being like, hey girl, when are we going to Tijuana? And you're like, I don't want to go. And they're like, well, then you're not working with us anymore.
I always love that. I always love any Because it's true. It's like, it's hard for me. Like, remember the one about the, did you watch the one about the kid investigating the murder of his father or his mom or something because there was the gifting tables in Connecticut? Have you heard about that one?
No. Tell me, when you remember the name, send it to me. I want to
I'll send it to you. I'll tell you all about it. It's just, it's insane, the gifting table thing. But John,
talk about it privately, because we've got less than 10 minutes left on the Zoom here, and we have to play Johnny's Game. Are you familiar with Johnny's Game?
No, but I
do you have any familiarity for Johnny's Game?
No.
Tony, tell her what it is.
Johnny's Game is predicated on John coming up with clues that will lead to us guessing a pun answer. Not the actual answer, but the pun answer. Born out of John bothering me with these privately for a decade plus.
For example, you know, who is the actress who, you know, this actress gets you a deal on, you know, a car.
Good example.
It's Charlize Theron, you know, stuff like that. Wordplay.
Oh, I'm not going to do well with this game.
That's fine.
Don't worry. We play together as a team, Julie.
Okay. Oh,
well,
good.
You don't have
good.
To.
Okay. Okay. Good. No, I do.
You get less points if you work as a team, but that's fine.
Fine.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Julie Klausner, are you ready for Johnny's Game?
I'm ready for Johnny's Game.
Tony,
I'm ready.
Ready
I'm ready.
For
Let's
Johnny's
go. Let's
game.
Go. Okay, come on.
Are you ready?
Yeah, we have the music already laid in the bed. You don't need to do this.
What did I say when a gender nonconforming 80s pop musician stole my wallet? What did I say when a gender non-conforming 80s pop musician stole my wallet?
Am I allowed to ask any questions?
Do. You can do whatever you want. Yes,
but you won't answer them?
Let's see.
David Bowie?
Nope, not David Bowie. What's your question, Julie?
I don't think I retract any ones that I would have thought.
What
about.
Did
I say?
When a gender non-conforming 80s pop musician stole my wallet, what did I say?
Boy, George, you stole my wallet.
Close.
Really? Something with like they, them. I'm talking to Tony.
I think it's somewhere along boy. You go.
What if it's like... Come on, Eileen, or something. Come on, Eileen, that's
getting
my wallet.
Colder.
Getting way colder.
The Dexy's Midnight Runners totally conformed to their genders.
Oi, George. Is that it? Because you're Jewish.
No.
Just forget you're Jewish.
Is Boy George in the cat in the zone?
Is Boy George zone. They them?
I think he is.
He falls under gender nonconformism. What did
Your
I say?
Other...
When a gender nonconforming 80s pop musician stole my wallet?
Boy I'm George, not... you stole my wallet?
That's what you already said. Nice
is
and
it
close.
It's not Boy George, though, right?
Well, it could be.
What about... Oh, Grace Jones?
No.
Grace? No. I
mean, you
Grace,
got it.
Say,
you got
say
it.
Grace Jones. No.
You're a disgrace,
no.
Jones. Give me back my wallet.
No. Should I say what it is?
I guess so.
Give me a hint. Just give us a hint.
It was a hint.
Yes.
He doesn't give hints.
Okay, then never mind.
When a gender nonconforming 80s pop musician stole my wallet, I said, Boy George, I think he's got it.
Oh, give me a break.
We won.
Give me a fucking break. Yeah, we
Anthony
won. That's
Tammy
ridiculous.
Won.
You didn't win.
That's
I'll
ridiculous.
Give you, won I'll give you
the game.
I'll give you 0.05 points for that for getting Boy George.
Okay, what's the next one?
Okay, are you ready for the next one?
The next one, yes.
Are you ready for the next one?
Yes. Yeah.
When the entryway got all muddy, these little dirt creatures emerged and started this R&B progressive soul band. When the entryway got all muddy, these little dirt creatures emerged and started this R&B progressive
soul
band.
Do we need to know the name of the dirt creatures from Ghibli films to answer this?
No, no, no.
R&B, common, hold on, common R&B real world. Progressive soul?
Yes, a sort of genre-spanning R&B progressive soul band.
Can you give me an
example
of a group that that is in that mold?
No, this is a pretty singular group. When the entryway got all muddy, these little dirt creatures emerged and started this R&B.
Oh, it's bunnies. It's what's the bunny band? What's the band that's bunnies?
Bunnies.
Not, I don't think bunnies are little dirt creatures.
There's a bunny band.
Well, dirt, bunny band. A dirt bunny, isn't
R&B,
it?
R&B.
Dust bunny? No.
Progressive soul? You said progressive soul.
I did.
This is not
and
like...
And Wikipedia, I got that classification from Wikipedia, so that's
not
pretty
Earth,
official.
Wind, is it not Earth, Wind, and Fire? Ooh.
Ooh! Is that something?
It could be!
Is that something?
It could be!
Dirt, Wind, and Fire.
No.
What if it's, like, mud room? The entryway is like the dirt room or the mud room.
Don't forget about the creatures, though. When the entryway got all muddy, these little dirt creatures emerged and started this R&B progressive soul band.
So like trolls or like dirt creatures?
No, these are real.
Like...
These aren't magical creatures.
Oh my God!
These are just
what
typical
are mud creatures?
Little just creatures that live in the dirt.
Slugs. Slugs,
not slugs,
bebo,
they're more
worms
on leaves. Mmm.
Earthworms, wind, and fire.
What?
Earth, worms, wind, and fire?
You're really getting there. Not there yet. When the
Earth?
Entryway
yes.
got all muddy.
Yes.
These little creatures emerged and started this R&B progressive soul band.
Earthworm, wind, and fire.
Don't forget about the entryway.
The entryway, though, Tony.
Oh. Hall and earthworm and oats?
Hall.
What?
Hallway, earth, entryway.
What?
Nah.
Earthworm Hall and Oats?
What?
Earthworm Hall and Oats?
Nope. That's a hall, not a hallway.
A mud
corridor,
room?
Corridor.
What's a word for a hallway?
Entryway. Tunnel.
No.
Do. I like to sing John's song. It's more fun. Do.
Fire.
Earthworm, wind, and fireplace?
No. Don't know a lot of entryways with fireplaces.
Give it to us. We only have 2 minutes left, John.
All right. When the entryway got all muddy, these little dirt creatures emerged and started the R&B progressive soul band Earthworms and Foyer.
Oh my god. All right, give the last one real quick.
Earthworms and Foyer. I don't know if we have time for one
okay,
more.
That's it.
I think we should do
minute.
Slugs.
It says less
you
than
guys,
a minute.
You guys got, 42. I'm going to give you 0.0, I'm going to give you one point.
Wow,
which
that's
is
better
enough
than
to
we
win.
Did last week.
Which is enough to
we
win.
Got more answers.
You guys won. Yay. You guys won. Congratulations, you won.
By the way, I want to thank Julie real quick for casting me as a podcaster so many years ago. Because look where I have arrived today.
I mean, I had an idea and I had a vision and here we are.
Julie, thank you so much.
My vision was that I wasn't going to get more than one season. So I was like, I better use Tony now.
And that came true for me instead. Mm-hmm. Only one season.
It's all right. It's okay. There's worse things. There's zero seasons. Yeah,
that is
other
true.
People.
Well, is there anything you'd like to plug aside from your canceled shows?
I'd like to plug Double Threat. And John, you must come on. I'm so sorry.
Oh, I'd love to.
Invited you before this. I am so lousy at that, but I would love to have you on as a guest. And I'm just so happy to see you both. It's like being reunited with my brothers. My favorite brothers.
Sister, Julie.
We love you, Julie.
We love you. Thank you for joining us.
Anytime. Julie. Have me back anytime.
Come back.
I love you both.
Okay. Bye. Bye. Love
bye,
you.
Guys. Bye. Thank you.
Upload that file. Bye.